This is Eno Benjamin, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined today by the Trash Man for a little bit of an early recording of the podcast. Trash Man called me this morning and woke me up with his request to talk about running backs that have found themselves in downgraded situations after the after free agency in the 2021 offseason. Trashman's really fired up to talk about this. Of course, you can find all of our content at RosterWatch.com. Before we got on, Trashman and I talking about our rookie rankings. We're pretty much wrapped up as far as the wide receivers are concerned. We will have gone through and done the evaluations and total write-ups of 30 wide receivers in this class, and probably we'll get to about 15 or so running backs in a class that is not quite as deep at the running back position as it is at the wide receiver position. And a class that, honestly, at the wide receiver position is probably feeling a little bit less top heavy. It's still as deep as we ever thought, but Rashad Bateman weighing in at 190 pounds because he doesn't necessarily show the athleticism. He has good athleticism, but he doesn't show the total just complete explosive profile.
I mean, big wide receivers, is that even a fad anymore in fantasy football? Like heavy guys? Like, I mean, the thing is, like, what's one thing that receivers can always do? It's put on weight. You know, it's going from college to NFL, and they usually do in many cases. So I don't see that as big of a problem as some others would.
It's just been disappointing. I mean, Devontae Smith, at least Jamar Chase isn't a coward like Devontae Smith, who won't even get on the scales in front of anybody. He won't even get on the scales.
His draft stock might plummet.
I don't think his draft stock will plummet. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He looked really awesome.
That was Matt Kelly's biggest gripe against him was how little he weighed.
Matt Kelly will always have problems with a low BMI out of these guys. He'll go to his grave with all that stuff. But as I'm looking at my rankings right now, I mean, does it make you like guys like, I mean, at this point, might you like Rondale Moore more than Rashad Bateman? Even though Rondale Moore, I mean, we knew he was short, you know, but 5'7", he's short.
I mean, I think there is something to be said for guys who aren't as athletic and maybe are a little bit smaller that still produce. That means
we don't. No, it's not. We don't. The worst thing you can draft in fantasy is small, slow wide receivers.
No, but guys who can actually still produce against you know, decent talent. I mean, guys who, you know, do the little things the right way. Guys who are technical. Because I think ultimately athleticism is mitigated for the most part in the NFL, unless you're an outlier.
Do you think that we can legitimately still call Rashad Bateman a guy who profiles in a way similar to Allen Robinson and Michael Thomas? I don't think you can say that anymore. It's like some of the shine has to be off of Rashad Bateman. Because Allen Robinson is 6'2" and 5'8", 220 pounds. That's a guy who.
I mean, I think Bateman's an elite route runner, which a lot of these guys aren't coming to the draft. He's an effective and willing blocker, which a lot of these guys aren't. I think one of the things I said was I think he projects to play better in the pros than he did in college. for a lot of these reasons. But I did say he wasn't a special athlete. He lacked elite speed. He's more smooth than explosive. But he's one of those guys that tends to do everything.
And he weighs weighs 190. That's 30 pounds less than Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson can't be a comp for Rashad Bateman.
Well, how much did Allen Robinson weigh coming into the NFL?
220 pounds at the combine. Michael Thomas weighed 212 pounds at the combine.
I mean, I think the comparison was based on, though, kind of those possession
type. The style of play, I get it. Yeah, a possession type who also with Allen Robinson, you have to take into the consideration the contested catch stuff, too.
Yeah.
And same with Michael Thomas. It's not always the down the field contested catch. It's oftentimes those sideline or those end zone contested catch type of situations. But it's like Rashad Bateman is not the size that I thought he was.
I mean, maybe you drop him a little bit, but the skills are still there.
He was 20 pounds less than expected. I mean, does it just mean nothing to you? Like it should mean something, right?
It should. I mean, but the thing is, like, has he been playing at 190 this whole time?
I don't know.
I lost about 30 pounds in a year.
This year?
The year before.
What about during COVID?
I don't know. I'm in the best shape I've ever been in.
I'm in great shape too, because in Texas, the best thing was they didn't they only shut down our gyms for like 2 weeks. And so we've been able to go to the gym the whole time. And what happened with me is, you know, my well went dry, right? And so
figuratively.
Well, I don't know. I mean, figuratively, I could probably think of ways that the old well is going drier and drier every day, trash man. But my well went dry, and so I was having to go to my gym during the middle of a raging fucking pandemic every single day just to go shower in public facilities. And so I figured as long as I was there, I might as well go work out, right? You know, I felt like a dunce. So, yeah. Anyway, glad that have you been watching any MLB baseball? It's good to see all these fans. But speaking of Texas, man, they wide open, 100% capacity in those stands last night for the, well, I mean, for like the Rangers Blue Jays.
My Astros don't look that good, so I haven't been paying that much attention.
They're not that good whenever they can't beat on those trash cans and give each other stuff.
Hey, they were good last year, though. They made the playoffs.
All right. Okay, so that's the I'm moving Rondale Moore ahead of Rashad Bateman. I might move Terrace Marshall ahead of Rashad Bateman in my own personal rankings.
I feel like there's an argument for Marshall for sure.
We'll have those rankings up. We'll have a link for our pro members to our 2021 staff rookie rankings pre-NFL draft for running backs and wide receivers. Of course, all that'll change after the draft. We'll have the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet, everything else once we have landing spots, and should be a lot of fun there. Just some news and notes from around the NFL, trash man. There was a text that I was on this morning with Alan Seslowski and Byron Lambert just about what we should be doing with Deshaun Watson and Dynasty Superflex startup rankings. With all the new stuff going on, we're now up to 22 accusers of various
Do you still believe me that – do you still not believe me that the McNairs were involved in this somehow?
I don't believe that the McNair – no, that's a crazy, crazy conspiracy theory, and you are
– I'm not the only one.
Well, you are a nut, and there's a lot of people that believe in nutty, nutty, nutty fucking conspiracy theories, right? The only way I think the McNair family could have been involved in this is if they knew beforehand that this was coming down the pike. – And that maybe was the reason why relationships soured between them, why they put out the various flags that they were open to trading him, that they were trying to get him off the books, maybe before any of this occurred. Because if here's the thing, the Texans could be really, really swindled here. They could be left holding the bag if he goes on the commissioner's exempt list, because that means they're going to have to keep paying him on that renegotiated contract. I just don't know now that we have not – so yesterday what happened – is previously Tony Busby, his lawyer, had basically seemed like one of these kangaroo court cockamamie jackasses, like that idiot Michael Avenatti that used to always go on CNN talking about the prostitute that President Trump apparently bought off or whatever. And there was always this stuff. Yeah, whatever it is. He seemed like this kind of dude. He seemed like an attention whore that was just trying to, you know, didn't seem like he had the goods, but maybe trying to get some money out of the guy, stuff like that. I'm not sure that that's the best way to say it, but it felt like at first that's how Tony Busby sort of seemed to me. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, Trash.
Yeah,
it feels like over the course of time, there's this trickle of new people, and then what happened yesterday was it kind of took the onus off of Tony Busby. And the woman came out with her own story. You know, she spoke for herself under her own name, not a Jane Doe pseudonym, or what is it? Not a pseudonym, a Jane Doe. What's the name for alias? Alias. Is an alias and a pseudonym the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing.
They had not only her speak, but then they also had a letter written under the name of another accuser that was read by one of Busby's female associates. And both of those it's like now that we've gone into the realm of, it's not just the lawyers going volleying back and forth, Rusty Harden and Tony Busby. Now it's like there's actual accusers. There's a real human element for people to see and stuff like that. You hear people now in the media talking about how this just feels. It does feel a bit different.
I mean, the thing is, like, who is going to 40 different massage therapists anyway? I mean,
Sean Watson.
I mean, like,
his own representation has admitted as much by saying, like, look, the guy gets a ton of massages. I mean, like, he has tons of masseuses. They even brought out the evidence. Rusty Harden brought out the evidence from the 18 women who said,
I know,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
I've done massages under Sean Watson.
Like, 40 of them in all.
And nothing's happened, you know. And I will say that there has been one of those women where they found evidence that actually she had to have a conversation with Deshaun Watson saying, like, look, word's getting around that you're acting creepy with some of these women. But that's a whole different story. But maybe one of those women who had stepped up for him might now, maybe Busby and them could have evidence that, you know, in direct messages to one of his current clients, they presumably allegedly have some kind of proof that this woman had at least contacted one of these other women about the fact that maybe they should be worried about Deshaun Watson.
I mean, like, I honestly haven't really been paying attention to what the exact accusations are. I mean, is it like Louis C.K. weird, or is it something like more pernicious?
Oh, well, we're well on our way to getting canceled if we start talking about stuff like Louis C.K. weird is pretty fucking weird, right? And especially if you do it, 22 times. But no, I mean, we're not lawyers. We're fantasy football analysts. We're trying to talk about this from a perspective. What do we do for fantasy for Deshaun Watson? What do we do? But I mean, here's what's been said, Trash Man. He's standing accused by these women, 20 of whom are unnamed at this point, of acts ranging from sexual harassment to, I mean, the word assault has been abused. So how that is how that's defined, I don't know. In how many cases is that in play? I don't know. What I do know is you have John McClain says that he's never going to play another snap for the Houston Texans ever again, right? You have Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, who I listened to his podcast yesterday with Shireen Williams on PFTPM, where he was saying that now what Rusty Harden is doing is Tony Busby's doing, how he's brought up this stuff now about how and if you listen to Florio on this, clearly he's a lawyer. He'll better explain it than I can, but he was saying that now that they're interweaving in this stuff about the various masseuses from Atlanta in the state of Georgia, who he had solicited off of Instagram, that since he paid for their travel, since he'd arranged for their Uber, since he'd done all that stuff, now we could be talking about some sort of intrastate stuff, which basically, to people who are legal beagles out there, you start thinking about intrastate stuff. It just starts sort of floating the idea about federal you know, crimes as opposed to just local and regional crimes. And we start talking about the federal and interstate crimes as they pertain to these sorts of accusations that could eventually lead to things like trafficking. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air with Deshaun Watson. Allen and Byron were saying, well, at some point in Superflex, he still has to be a value, right? In Superflex Dynasty Leagues. I mean, is that the case? Because I told them I'm not drafting him anywhere. Like, this dude could end up behind bars. I'm not saying I know anything that anybody doesn't know, but boy, things don't seem like they're shaping up in the right way. And before we talk about it any further, I'd like to just put out there that clearly the most important thing here is to make sure that there's restitution for anybody that was allegedly harassed, assaulted, whatever else. This is not to make light of these accusations or to treat this as if it's not a horrible situation. But it is our job. I mean, this is our job to talk about fantasy implications of things. So with that being the background, what do you do with Deshaun Watson? I mean, clearly if you own him in this a Dynasty Superflex league, you probably just got to hold him. Yeah, I wouldn't try selling him right now. But in drafts, there's like, are you really telling me that if you get down to like Drew Lock or Tom Brady, that's only got like one more year, you want to take a stab on Deshaun Watson in hopes this whole thing gets settled? You know, maybe he doesn't play in 2021. Maybe he only misses 8 games in 2021. Maybe it's – how do you see it?
You put him at the back end of starting quarterbacks.
Would you take Drew Lock over him?
If Drew Lock is my second quarterback, then no.
Well, hopefully Drew Lock would be your second quarterback in a super flex. You'd be in big trouble if he was your number one option in a two quarterback league. Are you saying you would not take Drew Lock? Okay, all right. So let's just say Deshaun Watson's sliding in your draft. And you're in like the 13th round or something of a super flex draft. And you're looking at guys like old dudes like Brady that nobody wants. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater, who we're not even sure is going to have a job.
I would not draft them ahead of Brady.
What about Drew Lock?
I would put him right there.
What about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, no, I'd put him ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, so I mean, we're talking about that. I just basically want him to be buried right now. I don't know what's going to happen with him. It doesn't seem, none of it seems like it's going well for him.
It's a very bizarre situation.
Let's see. Let's look at the best ball cheat sheet just really quickly. And I wanted to ask you about Melvin Gordon now that Philip Lindsay has gone to the Houston Texans. The Broncos with their new GM that came in after working for so long under Rick Spielman at the Vikings did bring in a true preseason goat, Mike Boone. I'm not sure how much that is. Are we maybe sleeping on Melvin Gordon in his value right now? I don't have his exact ADP pulled up, but I certainly have the best ball cheat sheet pulled up where it's originally crafted to sort of create leverage against ADP. And right now you can get Melvin Gordon at the 4-5 turn in these early best ball leagues. I think that's a good value.
No, it's a really good value. I think we're assuming that the Denver offense hasn't gotten better in the passing game, hasn't improved at this point, then yeah, I think Melvin Gordon's a really good value.
Well, they're going to have to improve because Cortland Sutton will be back. It'll be year two with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. It'll be another year with Noah Fant. The only thing holding those guys back is Drew Lock, who we talked about.
I mean, who's to say that he's made improvements?
I'm not saying that. I think the Broncos should have traded for Darnold. That would have been.
Well, I mean, that might have been a boon for like Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, but I don't know about otherwise.
Do you think Darnold sucks? What do you think that? I mean, do you don't think that's going to be an upgrade for the Panthers guys?
No,
not for Bridgewater. Bridgewater sucks, dude.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I think Bridgewater is more accurate than Darnold.
Well, but think about the Darnold.
What he can do. Darnold can air the ball out. We know that much. And if we're just talking about confidence under center, I don't think he's as good as Bridgewater. I think that boy is shook, man. I don't know.
Well, we know he saw ghosts. I mean, like – What is Sam – you think that Teddy – like, what is Sam Darnold's – so Sam Darnold's had been hovering right around a 60% completion percentage. What has Bridgewater been at in his, like, lately? I don't think it's – is it – let's see. No, yeah, it's been a little bit better. Bridgewater has 69% completion percentage last season.
I mean, there were times where we thought the Panthers might make the playoffs.
The only year that Bridgewater had a completion percentage that's basically been the average of Sam Darnold's career in the NFL was in 2018 in New Orleans, where he just went in for those five games.
I mean, yeah, to me, Darnold's not a significant, you know, boost at quarterback. Definitely not automatic for me.
So are you down? Are you downgrading DJ Moore? Are you downgrading Robbie Anderson?
Not down. Actually, might be upgrading Robbie Anderson. I feel like Darnold and Anderson, that's the match right there.
Do you like Robbie Anderson? Let me just ask you who you like better. Do you like Robbie Anderson better or Michael Pittman in Indy?
I mean,
now that we know that T.Y. Hilton's coming back.
Sight unseen, I would go with Anderson.
What about Robbie Anderson or Juju Smith-Schuster, who's heading back to the Pittsburgh Steelers after being very, very disappointing in the year following the Duck Hodges Mason Rudolph spectacle? That year was okay to ride off. This last year they had been the whole time.
I'd probably go with Anderson.
What about the, over the Jacksonville guys with the rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence, DJ Chark, and Laviska Shenault?
That's harder for me to.
Okay.
Harder for me to say.
What about if you were sitting in a draft room and you would, let's say you were picking at about the time where you would have to take a Robbie Anderson off the board, would be probably. Be the beginning of the seventh round. Okay. So let's say that you're sitting there and you've gone three, and it's a one quarterback league. You've gone three running backs, three wide receivers. And like, let's say some quarterback fell to you or something like that. Like you were able to get like Dak Prescott or something. Okay. In round six. Now here you are in round seven, you have a balanced roster. Would you rather have a wide receiver like Robbie Anderson or a running back like, Raheem Mostert or Ronald Jones or one of the Tampa Bay guys like Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette?
I mean, Mostert, I would probably want more.
Uh-huh.
Not the Tampa Bay guys.
So you like Mostert better than either of the Tampa Bay guys?
Yeah.
Do you like Leonard Fournette better as far as the two Tampa Bay guys?
Not necessarily. I mean, Leonard Fournette doesn't – he can't break tackles. There was a stat – this was months ago that I looked at right after the season. Like, he had, like, one of the worst
– elusiveness ratings or whatever.
Yeah, in the league. He was great in the playoffs. He was great in the postseason, but I don't know what that's going to do for you in fantasy.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, clearly he's, you know, whenever he gets hit in the backfield and stuff, he can't get going. Once he gets up to full steam, though, I feel like he gets up to full steam, he could be a tackle breaker. I've seen it. I have seen it.
I was just surprised by that statistic when I read it.
Yeah, I'm just let's see. I'm trying to. Oh golly. So yeah, evaded. So if you look at on Player Profiler, if you look at the evaded tackles and the juke rate, he's like rated as number 50 and number 53 last season. So that was not good at all. So yeah, you're right on that. I'm sure whatever PFS said kind of goes right along with what Player Profiler says about that as far as their charting. Okay, one other quick thing here on this, and it has to do – or two other quick things. One is Chase Edmonds. The Cardinals still haven't addressed the stuff with Kenyon Drake yet with him being gone. All that's left on the roster, I believe, is DJ Foster still there? I'm not sure. I know that Jonathan Ward is there, and I know that Eno Benjamin is there. But that's a bad, slim running back room. Steve Kime has said that this will be a big chance for Chase Edmonds. Do you think that we can dodge the drafting of a running back? And if so, does Chase Edmonds – I mean, how do you rank Chase Edmonds in this group? I know you haven't done Javonte Williams yet, but you'll be doing him soon. Maybe he'll be your next running back that you do. Maybe he should be the first running back that you do out of that group that we were talking about.
DJ Foster is still there.
Okay. So Javonte Williams, who ran a 4.63 at North Carolina Pro Day, but does have tape that looks like, you know, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. Javonte Williams, who does profile to come in and probably be a good, you know, at least two down starter at the NFL level. Some NFL team will draft him with probably second round draft capital. Chase Edmonds in Arizona in a wide open Kyler Murray offense, or Kareem Hunt as the kind of 1B there in Cleveland to Nick Chubb.
I mean, I would bet on Edmonds.
Edmonds over Hunt?
Oh yeah.
Just because of the upside?
Yeah, and we saw with Hunt last season, like whenever Chubb was healthy, Hunt didn't really do much for you in fantasy.
In PPR, he was okay in those games, but just he was very, very, very touchdown dependent and very, you know, four receptions per game dependent in those games whenever Chubb was healthy. And, you know, what I remember, too, is that Kareem Hunt wasn't always just an epic lock to go big, even in the games where Chubb was out.
Yeah. Who else were they putting in there?
Oh, it was majorly tilting. It was I have to look at the roster. That's gonna kill me. Let me just look.
It was D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah, D'Ernest. That's it from the Orlando Apollos. Yeah, for sure. And was it just him, or was there anybody else? I think it was pretty much just him. D'Ernest Johnson. It was so bad. All right, and then the one other situation I wanted to ask you about: are you in on Mike Davis? He's going to Atlanta, and I mean, Gurley's gone. Mike Davis was good for the Panthers last year. He's still pretty young.
Mike Davis.
I don't know if they're gonna address running back. It's like at this point, I think I like Mike Davis better than any of those Tampa Bay guys that we just talked about. Yeah, I think I like it better than James Conner, who I don't know what's going to happen with. I mean, I think I like it better than, you know, Miles Gaskin. Or I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, I hate to – I mean, because it could all evaporate in the blink of an eye.
It could. I just feel like with Atlanta, they can move the ball through the air. They're looking for somebody who can, you know, punch it in the – end zone, but also can pass catches, and that's
pass catches.
That's definitely in Mike Davis's wheelhouse, and we saw what he did whenever McCaffrey was out last season. We know that he can be that guy. I mean, if James Robinson can be that guy for an entire season, then Mike Davis can be that guy.
The one issue that I think there is with this, and this is something that Alan Sezlowski brought up on his latest article and video over on Roster Watch and here on the Roster Watch YouTube, is that the Falcons pick at pick 35, and boy, does that feel like Najee Harris territory? You know, does it feel like Travis Etienne territory? And, you know, you're looking for a guy that can give you some pop and give you some sizzle and give you some real, real chops in the receiving game. Both of those guys fit the bill. So the Mike Davis bubble could get popped pretty easily, I think.
But where are you drafting him otherwise? I mean, like.
Will you be drafting Mike Davis?
Yeah.
You'd be drafting him at we haven't priced in to where you could take him at the 7th, 8th round turn. I think it's fine to take him there for a dude who could be in your, like, literally your running back 3. They could be a low
running back.
Could be a low end running back 1 in PPR. No doubt.
I would not bet against Mike Davis starting at least half the games in Atlanta. I mean, whenever you bet against Mike Davis, he seems to come up and bite you. And I feel like you could probably get Mike Davis and still get one of those guys on whatever team they land on in the next round.
Yeah, no, I think that's – well, hold on, wait. One of those guys, Najee or ETN?
I mean, it's a possibility.
Oh, no. Najee and ETN are both going to go, and no matter where these guys go, I mean, Najee's going to go at the 3rd round at the very latest, you know. ETN will go right after. I mean, people are taking ETN over guys like, you know, James Robinson and Chris Carson and stuff. Sight unseen.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've always been more of a prove it to me first, at least when it comes to running backs. After last season, the running back debacles that we saw, it's just like, it's hard for me to buy into, especially that early. I mean, like, honestly, you know, the league that I won in, it was a 0 running back draft for me, basically. So I don't know. It's hard for me right now to.
What are you doing? Isn't that 10K league that you playing with all those rich old folks here?
No, it was our oldest league.
Oh, that league. Okay, I was gonna say you can't go 0 RB in that league.
No,
you don't have to against those donks. I can't believe it. I wish they let me in that league. Let's talk about what you've been itching and dying to talk about. Trash Man's topic of the day. He wants to talk about running backs that have lost value. Or what? What did you want to say?
Yeah, running backs that have decreased in value coming to the season.
Thanks to our keyword overlords. Speaking of our keyword overlords, if you guys are watching this on YouTube and you've got this far, if you could click the thumbs up button, if you could leave a comment, that would be very helpful. And of course, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could leave us a rating and a review, that would be super helpful too. As I mentioned before, you know, it's only about 1/12 of you that listen that have left even a rating yet. All you got to do is scroll down on your phone and just click the 5 stars. That's really all it takes. And we would appreciate that. It helps people find the podcast. It helps us to be able to continue doing this and bringing you the content. We have at least one more podcast coming out this week with a great guest. And then I'm trying to book another one for on Friday. So it really helps the people who help us to allocate our time to tell us to allocate more time to these podcasts whenever we have that good feedback from the audience. So thank you for that, Trash Man. Thank you in advance for this excellent keyword analysis.
Okay. Running backs that have lost value to me, Alvin Kamara.
I think it's fair. He loses one of the premier screen game quarterbacks in the whole NFL.
Right. And we saw when he was playing with Taysom Hill last season, he wasn't that MVP caliber candidate, or they didn't use him like it.
Taysom Hill likes to hold the football on those zone reads and run it his damn self.
He does.
Especially down by the end zone.
I mean, if he's not the starter, if Hill is not the starter, then I think we can be a little bit more bullish on Kamara.
I don't think Hill's going to be the starter.
You think Jamie Quincy's going to win it?
Yeah, well, and I trust guys like Nick Underhill, who seems to believe it's going to be Jameis. Nick Underhill from New Orleans Football.
And you don't think Hill's going to be used on a lot of those kind of wildcat?
Oh yes, of course he is. Unless they just don't keep him. I mean that contract that's completely voidable over the 4-year completely voidable contract that they signed. It's just some ridiculous, you know. It's like a farce, you know. It's like 4 years, 120. I forgot even how big it was. At some point, they're gonna either have to kind of pay that or pay something like that or get rid of him or something. I don't think it's gonna be this year.
Yeah. So this year, I don't know. I feel like it could take a little bit of the shine off of Kamara either way, because he's going to be involved. He's going to be involved, especially there on the goal line.
I see. I thought you were gonna go with some of the easy ones, the Josh Jacobs.
Did
you even think about that?
Yeah, but there were some other ones who I thought about before. I mean, like Todd Gurley.
Well, he's hurt just because he's literally because he's hurt. he's done, man. He's dust. He's dust in the wind, man.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, but he's definitely one of these players who his value is an increase at the running back position. James Conner.
He didn't even have a team. Unless he's been signed today, he didn't have a team, does he?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, so those were more apparent to me than like a Josh Jacobs.
Oh, well, clearly, man. I mean, of course, a bunch of these dudes have lost value who are going to be retiring.
Okay, but maybe one that's a little controversial.
Retire.
Maybe Chris Carson.
Lost value?
I don't know, that Seattle offense just seems to be kind of in flux right now. I don't know.
Well, they have a new offensive coordinator who was brought in that they knew from the – I believe their new offensive coordinator came from under McVay. They got rid of Schottenheimer, who was the – you know, ground and pound kind of meathead. They've invested.
I mean, yeah,
ground the offensive
pound.
Line.
I mean, they got rid of the guy who was ground and pound.
Yeah, they did invest along the offensive line, didn't they? Didn't the Seahawks bring in Gabe Jackson in the whole Raiders fire sale with their Gabe Jackson Seahawks? I thought they did. I can't wait to do these offensive line rankings with all the shakeups. Yeah, the Raiders trade Gabe Jackson to the Seattle Seahawks for a 2021 fifth round pick. Crazy. I was under the impression that the best place that Chris Carson could return to was Seattle. Where would you have liked him better? Maybe if he went to Atlanta. I mean, how many other places could he have gone to where his value would have done anything?
Well, let me ask you. So do you think he's an RB1?
Chris Carson?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so then that value has decreased from
– No, because Chris Carson's never been drafted as an RB1. He's been an RB1, but he's never drafted as one. He's always drafted
– Last year he wasn't drafted – he wasn't being drafted as an RB1?
No, let me see where he's being drafted. I can look it up. Let's look at the 2020, the PPR best ball cheat sheet, and I'll tell you where Chris Carson was being drafted. He was being drafted – Look, he was going ahead. So Chris Carson was being drafted last year at running back 19 around this time, around the time version 2.0 of the best ball cheat sheet came out. He was being – I mean, last year he was being drafted ahead of Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers and David Johnson in his new situation and James Conner, a lot of these guys. So I think that where he's being drafted right now is a back-end running back too. I think that's fine. Whenever you look at him, let me get back to this year's cheat sheet for best ball. I mean, do you like Chris Carson better than Josh Jacobs?
Yes.
Do you like him better than David Montgomery? With Tariq Cohen coming back and a shitty coach as usual per our usual arrangement in Mr. Matt Nagy.
Arguably a better quarterback, though.
What? Oh, no, not a better quarterback than Russ, just a better quarterback than better quarterback than Foles slash Trubisky and Andy Dalton. Yeah. He's basically, you're not sure if you're going to take Chris Carson in front of James Robinson or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are you?
No.
So he's a back end running back too, just like always. Trash man, your one assignment was to find running backs whose value had decreased. Chris Carson's has stayed exactly the same.
It might have decreased a little bit.